Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Our reading from the law this morning is found in the book of Deuteronomy, and we'll read from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. As we read this morning from the book of Deuteronomy, we know that we have not loved you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, or with all of our strength. Father, we've loved ourselves more. We've loved others. And so, Father, we come to you this morning and we ask forgiveness for that. We ask with the help of your Holy Spirit that you would turn our hearts and our minds to you more often, so that our entire life would be encompassed by you, and so that we could point others to you. The Israelites were to live for you and show the nations who you were, and they failed. And so, Father, that too is what we need to do and what we are called to do. Know you and shine your light upon others. Forgive us for failing to do that. Now, Lord, I ask that you would help each of us to remember our shortcomings, our failures this week. And we'll do that in silence.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
And let this be your comfort this morning. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Amen. Let's turn to page 75. Well, God's will for life this morning is a short little section of Ephesians, one that you're all probably familiar with, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment
with
a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what I look out into each morning that I'm here. Families, fathers, mothers, children. Father, you have blessed this church with young people. There are so many churches out there that are barely keeping their doors open because there's not another generation to follow. And yet, Father, you have truly blessed this area. And so, Father, we thank you. We praise you for that. We thank you for the sound of little ones. And, Father, we pray, we ask that you would help this congregation to raise them up correctly, to raise them up in the ways of the Lord,
for non-commercial use,
so another generation will follow. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you don't mind singing an Easter song this morning. I'm sure the author did not intend for that to happen. Next time, we may have some Christmas. How's that? Well, let's have the kids come up, and let's talk a little this morning. How's everybody doing? Doing good? You can enjoy your last day of summer today, right? Because now it's last day of it's going to be hot. I don't know. Starting to feel that winter coming, right? No? Yeah, I don't know. Well, I got another story. Sorry, things happen in my life and I start thinking about how can I think about that and what, you know, what can God teach me from that? Well, I was out mowing a couple weeks ago and I got near this big, huge bush that we have in the backyard, and all of a sudden, man, something stinks back here. What is that smell? And I stop the mower and I pick up part of the branches on the bush, and there's a dead rabbit underneath my bush, and it's been dead quite a while. So what do you do with a dead rabbit? I'm in the middle of a city. What do you do with a dead rabbit? Bag it and throw it away. Well, that's what I did. I went and got a couple of garbage bags. I got a glove, and I picked it up, put it in one bag, and then I put it in another, and I made sure I did not touch that rabbit. And now what do you do with it? You can't put it in the trash, right? Because that's going to stink. And so the bagging didn't really do a whole lot of good, but good enough. The rabbit's gone. My dogs aren't going to roll in it and all that stuff. So now I thought, okay, I finished mowing the lawn. Everything is good. Went inside, and I was going to prepare a sermon. And so I'm kind of reading through things, and all of a sudden, something stinks. What is that? It was the rabbit. How could the rabbit still be around? And I smelled my arm, and it stunk like the rabbit. I'm like, what is going on? And I went to the bathroom really quick, and I washed my arms. What happened? Well, the smell of the rabbit started to seep into my skin a little bit, and I could still smell that. That's weird, isn't it? But I got to thinking, what other things does that happen with? You ever been to a bonfire? And at the end of the bonfire, you come home and your clothes stink because they've kind of absorbed the smoke. Someday you might spill gasoline on yourself, fill in the car, and it's just gonna stay there with you. And I got to thinking, you know what? Something else sticks to us. Not very good. It smells like that rabbit. It's sin. Sin sticks to us and kind of just hangs around with us. And so when we disobey God, when we disobey our parents, a lot of times the sin doesn't just disappear because we don't stop thinking about it. It's still there. And so what do we do? When David sinned, he asked God this. He said, clean me with hyssop and water. It was kind of a soap for them during that time. And what he's saying is, when we sin, when the stink of sin is still kind of clinging to us, we need to pray. And we need to be washed by Jesus' blood. Not just on Sundays, not just on Easter, every day. And so when we disappoint God, when we disobey our parents, when we don't do the things we're supposed to do, we need to ask God to wash us and to cleanse us so that sin is gone.
Created with free and I don't smell it anymore,
and it's out of my memory. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these youngsters. Again, what a blessing. Father, we ask that you would teach them through just everyday common events about you, and that you would use your creation, your word, their parents, everything, Father, around them to teach them about Christ. Father, you gave us eyes, you gave us ears for one purpose, to see you and to hear you. And so let it be true with us. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. Our scripture lesson, which is our sermon, is found in Judges 2, 6 through 15, and we're going to kind of work our way backwards here a little bit through the Old Testament, and we'll start with this verse.
Created with free version
and
for non-commercial use.
Judges chapter 2, Israel is in the promised land, and so Joshua is speaking to the leaders, in Judges 2, verse 6, it says, after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived them and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to the raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. Here back in about March, there is an organization called the Pew Forum, P-E-W, and they do a lot of polls and things in the area of Christianity. And they were comparing different aspects of beliefs among different ages of people here in the United States.
Created with free version for non-commercial
and
use.
And one of the questions that was asked of the thousands of people who were polled is, do you believe in the God of the Bible? And the interesting thing that you see about the statistics in this category is that as you go from 65 and above down to the teenage era, 18 to about 29, young adults, the percentage of people who believe in the Bible continues to decrease. 65 and above, 65% of all Americans believe in the God of the Bible. And then it makes its way down into those who are ages 18 to 29, and only 43% of that age group believe in the God of the Bible. And yet, that age group, 18 to 29,
created with free version
believes
for
they are
use.
The highest percentage of believers who believe in a higher power, a spiritual force. 39% of them. 43% believe in the God of the Bible. 39% of them believe in something else. And then 16% of that age group do not believe at all. And I was really awakened years ago when I was teaching in Watertown, and it was almost Easter time. And one of my students, who was a freshman, made a comment to another student, "What is Easter? Who is Jesus?" And I about fell on my face. In the United States of America, in Watertown, South Dakota, we now have people who have never heard of Jesus Christ. Christianity
created
is looking
with
to
free
Europe
version for non-commercial use.
Because a lot of times the things that happen in Europe make their way to this country. A magazine called The Guardian did a poll of their own to see how many young adults, teenagers, 16 to, I can't remember, we'll say 25, somewhere in there, have any religious affiliation whatsoever. And in the Czech Republic, 91% of young adults have none. 80% of young adults, again, we're talking teenagers here, 16 and up, in Sweden and in the Netherlands have no religious affiliation. The Netherlands, that is where a majority of Reformed teachings have come from. 80% now no longer believe in God. 70% in the United Kingdom no longer have a religious affiliation. 59% of them never attend a service. So what's happening in this world? Well, we're seeing what was lived out in the book of Judges becoming lived out here in this nation and throughout the world. You see, we're losing a complete generation of young people, not only in this country, but in the world. And so why? What is happening that is causing us to lose the generations around us? And so if you turn to Joshua chapter 23, verse 6, Joshua again is speaking, and this is as, again, the people are ready to enter into the promised land. And he makes a very ominous prophecy. He says this, Joshua 23, 6, he says, "Be strong, be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now." And then verse 12. "But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares, traps for you, whips on your backs, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land, which the Lord has given you."
Free version for non-commercial use.
"Do not associate with the nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the name of their gods. Do not worship and serve their gods." Why not? Because they will become a snare, they will become a trap, they will become a whip on your back, they will become thorns in your eyes. And so now the warning has been given. In Joshua 24, verse 16, "The people answered, 'Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God.'" And then Joshua says this in verse 19, "Joshua said to the people, 'You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. You cannot serve.' And the people said, 'We will serve.' But what did the people serve? As we read through the rest of the Old Testament, they served the idols that they were warned against. They served the cultures around them. And they became like the people who lived in those lands. In Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah is preparing the people for their deportation, for their captivity. And he says this, "Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up.
Created
they
with
have
free
rebelled
version for non-commercial use.
Against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his own manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel, and they have turned their backs on him." Why are we losing a generation? Because we have a generation of not just the youth, but of the parents who are serving the idols of this world, who have become like the world in everything they say and do. And so they show no difference to the world. Let me ask you this. And I wasn't here for most of Justin's tenure here. But in the churches I've attended, how many sermons have you heard, or have I heard, on idols? On giving up the world? On not loving the world? And you see, one of the reasons why preachers don't do that is because it hits way too close to home. People are going to leave the church when you start telling them to forsake the world and the things of the world. Many ministers do not preach on this because it hits too close to their hearts, because they know that they are hypocrites in the eyes of the Lord, where they preach one thing and yet they still continue to do others. And so this is a topic that we don't want to hear about. But because that set, that age group, has continued to become part of the world and become serving the idols of the world, the young generations behind us
created with free version for non-commercial use
to follow the ways that we have set. Jesus in 1 John 2:15 again tells us that we are not to be like the world. Do not love, this is John speaking, not Jesus, but do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Is gaining the world, church, worth losing?
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Of children. And so what do we do? What do we do? Because I believe you're here because you are willing to step up for the generation behind you. I told you we're going to work a little backwards. Let's continue to go back. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. What did Israel not do to cause them to become part of the world around them? That an entire generation of Israelites did not know the Lord. How can that happen? These were people who were rescued from Egypt, rescued from slavery. God had set up festivals and sacrifices for them to continue to remind themselves of who he is and what he did. He brought them into the promised land, and yet an entire generation disappeared.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God, directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord their God as long as you live, by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of our fathers, promised you. And so he sets them up and says, if you do this, this next generation will follow. That next generation will follow. And there will not be a missing generation. And so he gives the how. And I read this earlier. Jump down to verse 6. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. And so number one, he says, the laws and the decrees that I'm giving you, what is written for you and I, what is written in this scripture, is to be upon your heart. Now that does not mean, I talked about this last week, we just hear it and that's it. It's just a part of our mind. It comes down into our hearts and back into our mind and back into our hearts. It becomes a part of us, the inner man, the whole man. But isn't it interesting? It starts with the older generation. It starts with the parents. He didn't say to the kids, kids, this is what you're to do. He said, no, this is what you're to do, adults. You are 2. Place these commandments upon your hearts. And so how do you do that?
Created with free version for non-commercial use.
Well, after this service, there's adult Sunday school. That's a start for you to start living out this commandment. It means that you're to hear God's word. You're here this morning to hear God's word. That's a start. It means you are to read God's word. Not have someone read it for you. You are to read it. It means you're to memorize it. It means you're to meditate upon it so that it becomes a part of your life and so that your children and their children see within you that you are living for God and that you're walking for God and you're just an open light that continues to show God. You know as well as I do what happens and how children learn from their parents and what they pick up from their parents. And if we're not living out God before our kids, how do we expect them to live out God? If we just drop off our kids at Sunday school, which I've seen at other churches, and then I go out for coffee, praise God that they're in Sunday school and that the word's being planted. But what's happening at home? What's being lived out before them? It starts with us, the older generation, living it out and becoming a man or woman of God so that our children then can see what that is and what that looks like. I have high school students who have a mouth like you can't believe. And when you call them on it, do you know what they say? That's the way we talk at home. I can't help it. I want our kids to say, I want them to bless others. I want them to help others. I want them to share the gospel with others. Why? Because that's what they see at home. And so it starts with the adults. It starts with the adults. It has to become not just reading to read. It has to become a part of your life. And it can only be done by the Holy Spirit helping you and by you wanting that. And if you don't want it, then you ask God to help you to want that. You remember the man whose daughter was being healed and he didn't have the faith. God, give me the faith. If you don't have the stirring to know God and his word, ask him. Ask him. Because the next generation is counting on us. And then he goes on and he says this. Impress them on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Now, other versions say this. Teach them diligently to your children.
Created what you learn, for non-commercial use.
What they have learned in Sunday school, you take and you impress it. And that means sharpen like a sword or a knife. You sharpen them. It also means to pierce. You take that word and you pierce them. You teach them what that means. You live it out before them and you teach them. And how do we do that? Well, we bring them to Sunday school. We bring them on Wednesday nights and we come on Wednesday nights. One of the things that Justin did a great job of, and I don't know how long it was carried out, but he had, I think it was in the summer, maybe it was in the fall, Sunday school with who? Both the parents and the children together. So that together they could learn the word and then together they could take it throughout the week and talk about it. That's what Israel was to do. And then he goes on and says, where do you talk
created
about
with
it?
Free version for non-commercial use.
And he goes
use.
On and he says this. He says, talk about them when you sit at home, when you're at home, when you walk along the road, when you're driving, when you lie down before they go to sleep, when they get up. What's he saying? What's God saying? He says it's every part of your life. There is not a part of your life that you can't use to impress God and his truths on them. There's not one. You know, I use so many examples from creation, I guess because I'm a scientist and because I see so many things. And I hope that you will take some of the things that I've talked about, whether it's a rodeo with these weird bulls, whether it's a hawk smashing into the side of my car, whether it's a dead rabbit, whatever it is that you see, you can point out and you can share that. What do you think I think of every time I see a hawk
now? Free version for non-commercial use.
You know? Because God's impressing that upon my heart, and He's showing me who He is. Every time I think about a rodeo, God, these are things we need to do. It has to become a part of our life. It isn't just Sunday mornings. That's it. And I don't think about God the rest of the week. You see, that's not going to teach the next generation. It needs to become a part of their life. It needs to become a part of their life. And then He says this, everywhere you are, He then says to tie these words as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Now we know that the Jews took this very literally, didn't they? Especially the Pharisees, where they had little boxes that had the Ten Commandments that they wore here and strapped up here, and they still do it today. An Orthodox Jew will keep them up there to remind them of those commandments. What can you do? What ways can you symbolize God and who He is? Do you have Scripture in your house? I see so many. I walk into friends' houses and they got these great sayings about love and friendship. Great. Do you have Scripture in your house that you walk by and that you see that can remind you of God and who He is? Do you have something in your car that can remind you of who He is? You see, it's all of life. All of life. The reminders that God gives. And you see, this is what God told them to do. This was it. Make me a part of not just this part of your life, this time of year, all part of your life. That's it.
Created it doesn't sound that for non-commercial use.
That tortures, does it? And yet, an entire generation did not know God because they failed to do this. This church and its teachings are vital for the spiritual, for your spiritual life and for your children's. If you don't know where to start, just start. Go to Sunday school. Talk to your elders. They can lead you to resources that you need. Maybe you've never had a family devotion. Maybe you're not even comfortable leading a family devotion. How can I lead a family devotion when I haven't done it in the first 10, 12 years of my kids' lives? Who cares? I'm not comfortable praying. Too bad. Your kids need to see this. They need to know Christ. They need to know
created
God.
With free version for non-commercial
because we have
use.
A generation slowly disappearing. And we don't want that here. Nor do you. You have a great start. You have a great church full of great leadership. It's here before you. It's set before you. And now it's up to you to determine what to do with it. And grandparents, you don't get out of this. You don't get out of this. You still need to raise up, even if these are not your kids or your family. You still need to raise them up. You still need to be someone in the lives of these people. And I've said this before, I'm so tired of older people saying, I'm too old, I've had my time, they don't need me anymore. Oh, I want to scream at that. That is so wrong. You have wisdom, that you've lived life that the younger generation has not lived. You've seen things, you've went through things.
Created with free version for
do not quit
use.
Because you're old. Did Abraham quit? Did Moses quit? No, God used them mightily. The older generation of women, are you raising up the younger generation? I know there's a women's group women, young women, go to that. Gain their wisdom, gain their insight on God and who He is. We can't afford to lose another generation, and we are in this country. We look to Europe and we see they've almost lost an entire generation. Let that not be here in this church. Let's pray.
Created with free version for non-commercial use.